Through history, the church has been seen as a ship, not a pleasure craft, not a ship to be docked in safe harbour, but a ship that's meant to be out on the sea, rescuing people, bringing people into the kingdom of God, bringing healing and freedom and deliverance, and equipping them and training them and discipling them, and then having them go back out and bring more, rescue more. One of the things I learnt when I was church planting started about 17 years ago here in Narre Warren, and I remember the first little season I had basically one prayer. It was help. It was like, how on earth do I start a church from scratch with no prior contacts with a dream to help unchurched Aussies come to faith in Christ and they eventually be my leaders in the church? And, you know, I did lots of praying, lots of door knocking, all sorts of things. I had Youth with a Mission come in and help, and we ran some family fun days and tried everything. In the early phases, two or three people that I had made contact with, and I was able to share the gospel with them and sort of like a one-on-one encounter, was able to lead them to faith in Christ. But one of the problems was, none of those first few people I led to the Lord ever went on to be formed as a disciple. They never joined the church. They never went anywhere further with it. And that's a little bit like you being a country doctor and your job is to deliver babies, but every baby you deliver dies. And it really concerned me. And one of the things I realized is it's very difficult to grab someone totally out of the sea and bring them right onto mothership. It just seems such a big contrast and distance. But if you can deploy lifeboats to be in closer proximity to where the people are at and help them take that initial first step out of the water, then the process of rescuing them and getting them back on the mothership is so much greater. And what I discovered is a very, very effective lifeboat in our culture and in our society today are evangelistic courses. And so we began, in those early church planting days, starting evangelistic courses. And we ran many of them. And I remember the first time we were running Christian Explained for a while, and then we switched over to Alpha. I remember the first time we ran Alpha. It was my wife and I that were leaders and two helpers that were co-facilitating in the group. And then we had eight outsiders. Seven of those were totally unchurched. One was a person we had led to the Lord who had backslidden and had been overseas and came back and wanted a fresh start. So here were these eight participants doing this course. I remember one of the guys, Peter. First time I met him, I went down to Cranbourne where he lived. His wife had come to a craft group we were running at the time. And I went to invite them to come to this evangelistic course. And Peter's, you know, the union rep at this major glass industry place down in Cranbourne. And he was like checking everything out. And anyhow, he agreed with his wife, Mac, to come to the course. And I remember the first night he was just sitting there like this, you know, and in his mind he was thinking, I can get my wife out of here if I need to. And we had an English couple and a few other different people that were there. It was just amazing. Over the weeks, I remember the comment from the English couple that they said they watched Peter go from this very defensive, you know, I've got it all together, and they watched how God softened his heart and he came to saving faith. And they said because of what happened in him, they too then gave their lives to Christ. The whole group at the end of that course came in and joined our church, every single one of them. And I'd never seen that kind of response through evangelism before. And so I got sold on this aspect of the life raft and using it as a tool in rescuing people. Sam's going to come up now and tell us a story from the festival. Sam.
Hello again. Cool. There we go. Most of you would know we were involved in the New Age Festival that happened over the Queen's birthday weekend. It was pretty eye-opening experience in terms of experience, people's experience and our experience. And I guess a story that I shared with Ken, which I thought was really significant, just for the way that God uses just his amazing just power to touch people's lives, was this one particular woman who came to the booth. It was a team from Byron coming down, and there was a Melbourne team we joined together, and basically ministered healing or supernatural encounter or dream interpretation, things like that. This one woman just came in, and she just really wanted to experience God. She really wanted to experience this Spirit of Christ that was, you know, the one thing that we operated in. And basically she walked up to the booth and she was like there like this kid at a lolly store, standing at the front kind of like eagerly waiting to sit down and get prayer. And she stepped into the booth, and me and Jeff, who were in the same booth together, were sitting there, and she comes up and she's like, I just cannot wait to experience this. She was actually a clairvoyant from one of the other booths. And she'd kind of heard about what was going on at our booth and was really keen to check it out and kind of experience it. And basically all we were doing was just giving people free samples of the love of Christ, which is really, it's an interesting concept, but it certainly proved effective in that New Age marketplace. But this woman basically walked in, she's like, I just can't wait to experience this. There's such an incredible energy coming from this booth of yours. And it's on both of you too as well. And obviously, as a clairvoyant, she had quite a spiritual awareness. It was obviously for different kinds of spirits. But nevertheless, she could actually sense there was something different about this booth. And she sits down, and we just say, all right, well, what are you experiencing now? Because we hadn't even started praying for her yet. And she's like, it was like this, it's like this expanding, this peace, this incredible warmth and safety when I stepped into this booth. We're like, all right, well, we're just going to invite this Christ to come so that you can just experience that love. So we start praying for her, and she's sitting down. She kind of goes from this like really concentrated, yeah, come on, bring it on. And then she just goes limp in her chair into this like almost transient blissed out state where Christ has literally just come and almost given her a big hug, and she's almost fallen asleep in it. It was amazing to watch, but basically she's sitting there for about 3 minutes in complete silence with this really goofy looking smile on her face. And then she starts starts explaining what's happening for her, and she's like, oh, I can just, there's all of this light. She had her eyes closed, and she's like, there's all of this light kind of circling me, and there's all these colors. It's incredible. And then she goes back into this silent, goofy, transient state, and she's like, about 3 minutes after, goes, I can hear the Lord's Prayer being spoken over me in Aramaic. And at this point, me and Jeff are like, I don't know about this. Probably ask for some kind of discernment, maybe stop her before she starts muttering some kind of incantation inside the booth. And anyway, we both just kind of sitting there, we're like, okay. And then without any warning, this woman who has no other language other than English, just completely Anglo-Saxon, speaks the entire Lord's Prayer in Aramaic. And straight away from when she starts speaking, this like presence of God basically just hit this booth. And me and Jeff were like, oh man, that I feel so much better now, that's definitely God. And it was this overwhelming, just tangible presence that like literally just boxed us into this booth. And from the point the woman started speaking to when she said amen at the end, was like this, we were getting ministered to as well. It's like this incredible, incredible power. Like I've never experienced anything like that. And after she said amen, she kind of just snapped out of it a little bit and said, oh, that was amazing. That was incredible. Oh, thank you so much. And she basically stood up and shook both of her hands. She's like, it's such a blessing to have experienced this. And then Jeff shared with her, he's like, I just feel to tell you that the word that we were given for this festival, which just kept on coming up for all the leaders of the team, was homecoming. And it was just this theme of homecoming for people. And basically she goes, that's exactly how I feel. Like, that is exactly how I feel. I've walked away from this light and I really feel that it's calling me home. It's just really calling me home. And so we gave her all of the details and we got her contact details. And basically she walked away completely different than when she walked in. It was like something had just lifted off her, and she'd had this almost enlightenment that stayed with her for the rest of the day. Every time I saw her walk past, she was almost like floating on this, like almost like she was still just like high off this presence that just lifted her up from where she was at. But yeah, that was just one of the many cool stories from that festival.
Thank you, Sam. Awesome. The festival was an incredible time. Just the heart of God to touch people that were so far from Him. Of sort of like the spiritual prostitutes and tax collectors of Jesus' day. One young lady came in when I was on the booth. Her name was Lisa. She came in and we just said, what would you like prayer for? We showed the card, which makes it very clear that everything we do is through the name of Christ. And we talked to her a little bit and she said, I have a neck problem that, you know, I can't sleep properly. So, we've seen lots of people healed. So we started just inviting the Spirit of Christ to rest on her and just bring healing into her neck. And then we asked her how she was going and she was looking a little puzzled, like, yeah, it's a fair bit better. So, let's pray some more. So we, again, put our hands right on where the neck pain was and just commanded, as Christ would command the tree to be uprooted and thrown into the sea, that this had to be uprooted and gone. And then she looks at us with this absolute amazement, and she's feeling her neck, and you could see it's like absolute puzzlement. And she just said, what is this? And I wish I could have recorded what came out of my mouth. it still blows me away. I just begin to say, you know, when Christ was on earth for 2,000 years ago, he healed everybody who came to him. And he said, those who are weary and burdened, you know, come to me and I will give you rest. And I said, it didn't matter whether they were good or bad. It was just out of his grace and his love that he would accept them and touch their lives. And she just said, that sounds wonderful. And I just then continued to talk with her, and you could just tell she was just absolutely in an awe, like, how do I know this stuff? And so we gave her some contact details of where she could pursue this further if she wanted to. But just the hunger that was there was just incredible. We've been encouraging people to invite people to the search course, and my son David, as many of you have met, he was, for 3 years, he's befriended a Muslim girl and many times just speaks little seeds of truth. And anyhow, recently she was saying to him, you keep getting to me with what you're saying, it keeps getting to me. And she's just agreed to do the search course. When a month or so two back, wet, cold day here, I came late and there was a New Age festival in the hall just nearby here. So I came in, grabbed as many search cards as I could and I took off. So I don't know what you guys were doing in here, but I was out there, got an umbrella out of the car. As everyone came out of the booth, I was giving out these flyers until someone eventually 3 hours later came and told me to get lost. But I got a phone call that week, and that week a Hindu lady had picked up one of the cards and she's booked into search. There are people that are hungry for genuine spirituality and faith and life and God. David's girlfriend Sophie has invited her mum, and her mum's agreed to come. She's gone across to her neighbour and the neighbour's daughter, has agreed to come. About a week or so ago, I popped into the Andrews Centre where Judy and many others give meals to people and befriend people there. And as we just shared about the search course and about the healing night, there was just this absolute openness. One lady said, "Oh, can I get healed of my cigarette addiction?" I said, "Absolutely." I said, "I've seen lots of people free from that. Often, though, it's a bit like a carrot. You know, the top of the carrot, sort of the foliage part, that's the addiction that we see. But underneath there's often other issues that, as you allow God to deal with those, breaking the addiction becomes easy." And so some of those are planning to come to the healing night. And quite a number of them said to us later that they would like to come to the introductory dinner of search and check it out. As we're doing this, someone I know, their daughter walked in at this point and was speaking with Judy. And they had just been in a... come from somewhere that they had news to do with their health that was quite concerning, and she was upset. And she allowed Judy and myself to go aside with her and pray with her. And as we prayed into that situation, she just said she just felt in tremendous peace. And for the first time ever, Judy says that she's been totally closed for help, totally closed to counselling or spiritual things. Well, she was so open, said, "Yeah, I need to get some help." And she was very open to the idea of coming to search. Now, we need to follow that up. But it's just amazing. People all over the place who God is already preparing their hearts, who are hungry, but they will never walk into this church. They will never get out of the sea into mothership. But they will go with someone who's close enough to them into a lifeboat to explore this further. Now, this morning, it is my will to give $50 away. So I've decided that I just want to give $50. And what I've done is I've actually put $50 in the front cover of that Bible. So whoever wants that $50, all you have to do is go to that Bible, take out $50, and it's yours. So the first one who wants $50, it is my will to give $50 away. So I don't know if anyone wants $50 or someone's going to beat Tim there. But that's $50. It's yours. Go for it. It was my will to give that away. And obviously it's Tim's will as well. But it needed somebody to partner with my will to grab hold of that, because it could be my will for the rest of the service and that could have just stayed there, but it was there if someone wanted to respond to it. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 it says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." It is the Father's will that none will perish and everyone comes to repentance and salvation. It is clearly His will. But we need to partner with that. Luke chapter 14, verse 16 to 23 says this. This is the parable of the great banquet. Luke 14, reading from 16. "A certain man was preparing a great banquet," Jesus is telling the story, "and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is ready.' But then all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you ordered has been done, but there's still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in, so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet." It was the king's will to have his banquet hall full of guests. And when his servants went out and came back and said, "Well, those we invited didn't want to come," the king didn't say, "Well, you tried." He was upset. He said, "No, I want my banquet full. You go out and find somebody. Go into an alleyway, go into a back way, find the needy, find the cripple, find anybody. Just tell them they can have a free ticket to a good meal. Come along. This is the kingdom." That's the will of the king. That's the will of our God, that his banquet hall would be full. But we must play our part. Just as I believe it is God's will that we will have a search banquet that is full with many guests that have been invited. Many guests will be invited who will make excuses and won't come. But if you will persevere, there is somebody out there that God is already preparing that's waiting for someone to get close enough and bring them along. All of us can play a part. You can bring somebody. You can pray. We desperately need prayer backing this. When I started creating Search, I thought, why on earth am I creating another evangelism course, another lifeboat? There's lots of good lifeboats around. Why am I doing this? And more God's heart to me was, I want a supernatural evangelism course that has a solid gospel component in there, but power encounters where people can come in and taste of the things of heaven. And that's our heart. You can get behind it in prayer. There's a battle going on often in even getting people there. But you can pray. You can, instead of just inviting them, you can say, "I will pick you up. I will pay for your meal ticket. I will get you there and solve every obstacle." You can also financially give towards this. Our dream is to eventually get this packaged up a bit like Alpha. A very expensive process to do this. But our heart is to get as many lifeboats multiplying all over this nation where people can come and enter the kingdom of God. It is God's will that none perish and all would come to salvation. Now, I want to give an illustration. And I want you to imagine this paper chain that this first cutout figure represents my dad. In the early 1980s, he, through a set of circumstances, was looking for a new place to serve God. He was a pastor. And an opportunity came in a little country town called Bridgewater near Bendigo. And he moved there and was in charge of seven country churches. And there was a couple, Mr. and Mrs. Johns, that lived in Inglewood just up the road. They were church-going people but had no saving faith. And because of my dad's witness and preaching, he was able to leave this couple to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their life, their faith came alive. And I know Mrs. Johns in particular had a real call to pray, and she was a phenomenal prayer, and she would pray for members of her family, and she prayed particularly for Trevor, one of her boys, that he would come to faith in Christ. Well, she prayed for 10 years for Trevor, and Trevor didn't make steps into the kingdom of God, but Trevor knew that his mum's prayers were answered. So there came a time that his sister-in-law, Fiona, was going through a tough time in relationships. And because of that, she went to a clairvoyant looking for guidance. She went to two clairvoyants and they told her two opposing concepts and ideas to do with the relationship. So she was totally confused. And one of the clairvoyants said that when you get home, you will have the smell like a dead rat in your house and you won't be able to get rid of it. When she went back from the clairvoyant, she walked into her home, this stench met her. It freaked her out. She became absolutely fearful. She had Trevor come round, they cleaned the whole place out, checked everywhere, there was no sign of any mice or rats, but this smell would never leave. So Trevor went to his mum in Inglewood and said, "Can you pray for Fiona and explain the situation?" Well, at that time, I was starting a church here in Narre Warren, and I sent out prayer letters to my family in Bridgewater. And when my mum got the prayer letters, she then photocopied them and gave them to all these praying people in the parish. And so Mrs. Johns had my prayer letter. So when Trevor told her about Fiona, she says, "Oh, there's someone I know starting a church just near where you guys live. You need to contact Ken and you need spiritual help." So Fiona rang me up and she came along and I was able to explain to Fiona that the kingdom of darkness was real, the kingdom of light was real. God is real, Satan is real. But God could set her free. And so I led her in a prayer where she asked God's forgiveness for going to a counterfeit spiritual power for guidance instead of putting her trust in God. And then I prayed with her, and the final thing before she left, we prayed and I said, "In the name of Jesus, I break every demonic smell coming out of your home." She went back. The moment she walked in that door, that smell was totally gone. It so impacted her that her and her sister Grace came along to our evangelism course, our very first evangelism course that we were running here in Narre Warren. And both those ladies totally committed their lives to Christ. Well, Grace then wanted her husband Trevor to come as well and go on to our discipleship course I was writing at the time. And so I said, "That's great, but I want to meet Trev first." So Trev and I got together, and just because he saw the power of God, and he said this to me, "I now know evil is real, and it's forced me to realize God is real." And he gave his life to the Lord in my lounge room. And Trevor is an elder in the church I got started. He's my treasurer for Impact Ministries. Still loves God with an absolute passion. Anyhow, Trevor and Grace, over time, had a son. And the son's name was... I'm going to need some help here. The son's name was Michael. And Michael was 5 years old, and he was playing next door with Curtis. And Curtis was doing something wrong, and so Michael said, "God wouldn't like that. You need God." And so Curtis goes to his mum and says, "Where do I find God?" And his mum, Tracy, says, "Well, I guess you would find God at church." And so Curtis came along with Michael to church, and Curtis was looking for God and expecting he would see God there. Anyhow, the mum, Tracy, had come for 2 or 3 weeks, and then at that time, Carlos Anacondia was coming to the 8 days of our outreach mission we were doing in the city of Casey, and Tracy came along, and she went forward for salvation. And then when Carlos was taking authority over strongholds over people's lives, Tracy crumpled in a heap to the floor, and they began to pray with her. She had to renounce her involvement in horoscopes, in tarot cards, in a number of different things that she'd been involved in. She was powerfully set free. She was a totally transformed woman at the end of that deliverance ministry. She was so excited that she rang her sister over in England and said to her sister, "You know all those New Age and occult books you bought? You've got to get rid of them." And she told what had happened to her. And so the sister says, "Well, what do I do?" She says, "Well, you find a church." So the sister grabbed a friend, and the friend and the sister walked into this church, and it had 11 people in it. And their first words out of their mouth is, we've been told we need deliverance. Can you help us?" They weren't even saved yet. And the guy said, "Well, look, next week there's a guest speaker coming from South Africa, and he flows in this area of healing and deliverance. So they went to that meeting. Both of them got saved. Both of them got delivered. Totally transformed their life. Well, the parents were, what's going on here? So they came along to check this out. And the parents they argued, they fought, there was no peace, no harmony in the home, and they were just puzzled what was happening, you know, to Tracy here in Australia and to their daughter there. And so they walked into the church, and someone prophesied over them saying, God is saying to you, you need to have a spiritual house clean. Your house needs to be put in order. And so they repented, gave their hearts to the Lord. They had people come and pray through their life, through the house. All the arguing went. Peace came into their home. Their son, I should have a few more of these daisy chain people up by now, I think. Their son, who had nothing to do with church whatsoever, was puzzled by what was going on, saw the change in his family. He went to church with his de facto, and he too, he and de facto got saved. And he said, look, the only reason we didn't get married is we can't afford it. So the pastor said, well, I'll marry you for free. Someone else says, well, I can do this and I can prepare that. And so they had this wedding. And around that time, six of them got baptized. Tracy's on the phone to her sister somewhere in the middle of all of this. And I can't remember how many of these I should be up to. But Tracy says to her sister, oh, make sure you tell Grandma what is happening, because she used to pray for me all the time and take me to Sunday school. And that grandma that had given up on faith had no idea that 20 years earlier, God was already answering her prayer with my dad being sent to a little country church and touching Mr. and Mrs. Johns, and what God was doing all the way through. That woman she renewed her faith. The power of God hit her. She was healed. She had this total new lease of life and got off her deathbed and had more years to live. God's will was to answer that woman's prayer. It is God's will that none would perish and come to salvation. But God is looking for people that will partner with him to see those prayers answered, to see those people's lives transformed. It is his will that none should perish. Let's pray. Yeah.
Some of you may be thinking, I don't know, but you may be thinking, you know, why have we just had a big plug for search instead of a traditional teaching? Now, you may not be, but you may be. You may be just really moved and excited, and that's what I'm hoping is going on. But I just want to say today that Ken is someone that God has given us, as well as this area and this nation. And we who've got a desire to bring the gospel, we have got a desire to see people saved. Right in our backyard, God has given us Ken. And the same is true for other churches, but he happens to have his home here, and he is part of us. So there are two things that are important out of this. We've got a desire to reach out, and right in front of us is this amazing resource that we can key into. Anytime. It's here. It's on a plate. God has given it us on a plate. All we have to do is say to folk, there's something great that you can come along to. Now, isn't that amazing? It's on a plate. But we still have to take that step. We still have to take that step. So I just want to encourage you to see with a heavenly perspective that God has given us resources out of his grace and mercy in an area that hasn't been perhaps traditionally a strength of the church, and that is something that he has given us, but we have to step into. And the other thing I want to do, instead of Ken praying for us, I want to pray for Ken. because I just want to honor him in what he's doing and in that passion, and we stand with him because he's family. Yeah? He's family. Did you know that?
Thank you.
You're getting the hang of that. Family.
Yes, Lord, bro.
Yeah. Good boy. Good boy. Lord, we just want to thank you. We talked about Ken's passion, and we want to thank you for his passion for the lost. And we want to thank you that that passion's got legs and arms and a voice and a heart. And we want to thank you, Lord, for what you have brought us in terms of a wonderful gift of someone who has the heart and passion of an evangelist. And Lord, we pray your blessing on him now and your favor on him. We ask, Lord, for an increase in fruitfulness on Ken and over him, that those breakthroughs that he sees will be more and more, and those open hearts will be more and more. We ask, Lord, for blessing and favor financially for what's going on with Impact, that you'll release finances to resource the work that you've called Ken to. And Lord, we thank you for bringing him and Bree and the family among us. And we welcome them. And we thank you, Lord, that you have given us tools right in our backyard. And ask that faith will rise in our hearts. And ask that a heart to reach out will rise in our hearts. And ask that not one of us will be discussing the merits of lifeboats when people are drowning. So we ask right now that you will pour out your spirit on Ken, and you will pour out your spirit on the next search that's coming up now, and that it will be amazingly, amazingly fruitful. And Lord, we want to say too that we can see that this is a new season. This is a new season of the outpouring of your spirit. It's a new season of open hearts. And as a church, we want to be part of it. We want to be a full part of it. Lord, teach us and help us so that we don't miss out on the wonder of what you're doing. And so that your will about people being saved will be done. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.